We had canceled that for a while. We were in Haiti. We are going to kind of, basically, we won't be doing that until further notice. We might pick that back up in the fall, is why I say until further notice. But at least for the summer, we will not be having any Tuesday evening prayer time here. And then I want to remind those of you in the youth group, The Way, for ages 12 to 18, we are resuming our meetings this Wednesday night, and we'll be back on schedule. We missed about three meetings right in a row, but this Wednesday at 6 o'clock, is it 6 or 6:30? 6:30, right? Do you remember? It's been so long, I don't remember. I think it's 6:30. I don't know. Check the book. Okay, Mom says 6:30. I don't remember. But anyway, 6:30 this Wednesday, we'll be on schedule from here on out after that. Okay, we will now dismiss for Promised Land. Promised Land is our children's ministry for ages 3 to 12, so if you have a child in the age range, feel free to take them up now or let them go upstairs now. We also have nursery care available. Just go through those doors back here. Nursery care for ages 0 up to 3, and our nursery workers are listed in the bulletin. Make sure you sign your children, your babies in the nursery when you take them in. Thank you.
We sang the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. The verse, I noticed while singing it, I love that verse, but hadn't thought of it in terms of what I'm going to speak on this morning. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. In choosing that song, and when it was suggested that we use that song, I didn't realize how good of a lead-in that is to the brief things I want to say this morning. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Everything's in those two lines, folks. Can you see that? Pardon for sin. Rid of guilt, rid of the ugliness of our past, rid of that conscience that eats us up when we're alone, and a peace that endureth. A peace then replaces that, that will last. It endureth. Then thine own dear presence. The presence of God, the dove, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. In other words, wow, what a trade. Forgiven for my sins, pardon for sin. I lose that conscience and guilt and pain of the past. And I have a peace that endureth. And then his own dear presence to cheer and to guide. In everything that I do, the presence of God's Spirit. We have a variety of people to attend here. And I always ask God to give me skill in making things clear. I want to talk about being led of God's Spirit today. But I need to initially say that first you must experience the pardon for sin. You must come to Christ, but that is through the Holy Spirit. No man can come to God unless the Spirit draws him. We have our initial contact with God. We meet God the Father through God the Holy Spirit, and I'll not take any time this morning to explain something that's impossible to explain to the human mind, the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But really, it's not near as complicated as many would make it. There's an element of faith that our mind can't totally grasp it, so there's an element of faith of believing what God says. But God the Father, for example, in prayer, we pray to God the Father through Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus is the mediator. But is the Holy Spirit here on earth within us, God's very Spirit, that enables us to pray? So God in Himself is working in unity through us, and we get to become part of that. That's awesome. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. I asked the Lord in my office early this morning, Lord, help me to somehow get across with a passion how much this means to me to be led of God's Spirit. Because when we're drawn to God in the first place, we attend a church service, or maybe we're alone in our home, or it can be a variety of ways and places. It doesn't have to be some certain way. There's the drawing when we feel God drawing us. Maybe it's through a song. I've had people attend services and say, during that song, I felt something drawing me. That's the Holy Spirit. That's our encounter with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've had encounters with the Holy Spirit prior to that, and probably you have. Maybe at a trip to the funeral home in the time of grief and loss, when we're far from God and alienated from Him by our own actions and sins. But in that moment of sorrow and grief, we somehow through people's hugs and through people's words and that, and through the presence of God Himself, we feel some encouragement. And there can be a variety of ways that God reaches out. But before we come to Christ, we can't actually be led of the Spirit. We can encounter the Holy Spirit. You with me? Before we come to Christ, we're not led of the Spirit. We're not led of God's Spirit before we come to Christ. We have encounters with the Holy Spirit. Times when He's trying to get our attention. I remember wrecking a 67 Chevelle in the middle of the road and hitting a cement corner post. I've told many of you about that story. That was an encounter with the Holy Spirit. As I walked down the road late that night, a voice inside kept saying, "You're called to be a minister. What are you doing in your life? These things you're involved in and the drugs and various things going on in my life, what are you doing? You know that at 8 years old I called you. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing." An encounter where God attempted to draw me in to Himself. But when we open our heart to Jesus Christ and we bow at an altar or at our couch, which was my testimony at the home years ago. In fact, in July, I have 40 years of walking with the Lord. And what an awesome journey it's been. 40 years in July walking with the Lord. It was 40 years ago that I knelt at that couch late one night and told God that if He would help me, I would begin. And that I made a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. And it's been an awesome trip. It's been an awesome trip. And some people say, well, you know, you started going to church. No, I didn't right away. It's a relationship. Church can be a tremendous help. I encourage you to come to church. A pastor one, I want you to come. It'll help you. But it's a relationship. If this church doesn't burn down, that doesn't change tomorrow. My relationship with God, it's a relationship. There were no steeples in the Garden of Eden. show me in Scripture where there was a church building in the Garden of Eden, but it says Adam walked with God. It's meant to be a relationship. Now, church can be a great help to that, but you come to Christ, whether it's kneeling at the couch like I did or kneeling here in an altar, and you open your heart to Christ, and then there's a stronger encounter than ever before with the Holy Spirit, because I like to say it this way, He puts a seed within you that begins to grow. And I think that's just a good way to say it, because it's simple and we understand it. Churches are just notorious of complicating things, and there's no need for that. You come and ask God to forgive your sins and ask Him to change your life, and you come with all your baggage and all your issues and all the stuff there is to work through, and He places a powerful seed within you. It says that the deposit is the Holy Spirit, and we'll not go into that this morning, but He places that within you, and you'll notice a difference in yourself following that commitment if you were serious about that commitment. But that's a seed that's got to sprout and grow and got to be watered and got to develop, but it'll take you over in time. And as we walk with God, we learn to walk in the Spirit of God, and we're developed by God, and that plant, tender plant, begins to grow, and we come to church where it gets watered and gets fertilizer, and we read our Bible through the week where it gets some more nutrients, and that plant begins to grow, and we expose ourselves to the sunlight of Christian fellowship and God's Word, and that plant begins to grow within us. And the Bible says the kingdom of heaven's like a mustard seed, though it's the smallest of the seeds, it becomes a tree, just fills everything. Fills the whole earth, it says in that particular passage. And God's desire is that He would fill us and lead us and be with us. And the wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit is a valuable thing. And later in the message, I'll refer to the verse, we have this treasure. We have this treasure. Got a secret. If you know the Lord, you've been walking with the Lord, you got a secret too. I got a secret. There's something inside here in my heart. And it's this. It's the precious presence of the Holy Spirit. And it comforts you when your son falls 30 feet and you're sitting in intensive care wondering, what does this mean? And it comforts you when your mother dies in your arms like it had happened right over here on this road. And there's a snowstorm and you're waiting for him to clear the road so the undertaker can come. And she's sitting there in the chair and it happens so suddenly and you're in shock. He comes as the comforter. You got a secret. You got help. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. 7.5 years ago when I was on the sixth floor of St. Vincent's and they said I had acute myeloid leukemia and I was bleeding between my teeth and out my nose. Never dreamed. I was healthy all my life. Walked 5 miles a day. Never dreamed something like that would happen in my life. To have the comfort of the Holy Spirit. When my son was in an automobile accident, nearly died, brain injury, and went into the room, and he couldn't say his name, and couldn't count to three, and lost all ability to think temporarily. to have the Holy Spirit. The secret of the Lord is with the righteous. It's even predicted in the Old Testament. And the secret is that as we walk with God, that dove, that presence of the Holy Spirit, it's so interesting that God used a dove to describe the Holy Spirit. A dove isn't offensive like I am sometimes when I'm in the flesh. The dove isn't overpowering like we can be sometimes. The dove is a unique bird, and if you watch even the sound of the dove, of deer hunted, and you sit in the deer stand and you hear the morning doves, and you're like, it has an interesting sound that's unique. And I've thought, isn't it interesting that God referred to the Holy Spirit and sent him in visible form and lighted upon Jesus when he's baptized in the form of a dove? I think the eyes of the dove give it away the most. The pronounced white with the dark eyes. Oh, there is a power and there is a absolute look you in the eye. God makes us come to grips with what we need to. He looks us straight in the eye. You see those eyes on the dove, but yet it is seated in a softness. And that's where God wants to take us. And boy, that's a message in itself. I could have an ADD moment here real easy. I could run off with that real easy. God wants us to become very powerful in spirit through the eyes, but he wants that rested in and setting in a very soft and humble heart. Does that make sense? There's a lot to the dove. To be led of the Spirit. Oh, my favorite verse in the entire Bible is this one. I love this verse. John 3:8, and I put it up here in the Old English because I memorized it in the Old English, and therefore I get tongue-tied when I try to read it in another translation. The wind blows where it listeth. See, spell check, tried to change that, but that's right. The wind bloweth where it listeth. In other words, where it wants to. That's an old-fashioned word. The wind blows where it wants to. You go out, and what way is the breeze? We're going to sit on the porch a little bit this evening. What's the breeze? Oh, there's a nice breeze out of the south. Be nice and the wind blows wherever it wants to, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know whether from where it's coming or where it's going. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. As you walk with God, the reason I can't help but smile when I talk about this, you've experienced this if you know the Lord and walk with Him. I've experienced it myself over and over and over. When you walk with God, there will come a point in your life where God's direction will be on your life in such a way that you didn't see it coming and you're not sure where it's going. You just come the other day and say, wow, God was in that. God was in that conversation. How did we get talking about that? That's not why I stopped at the hardware store. The wind blows. It's kind of nice how God does it because then we can't take the credit. Did you ever notice that God will send you a direction, but the specifics He'll do different than you prayed? That's so you don't get cocky. He'll send you direction, and you know you're on track, but then He'll work the details. We were just talking the other day about somebody we sang with years ago for a while. And I was so convinced when we got hooked up with them that that the husband was the guy that was supposed to work with us, but I really think it was all said and done, he's supposed to work with his wife. But God led us to the couple. But God will do the details different because then you can't take any credit for it that I figured it out. And God just has a way of directing us in ways and putting us in places, but there's some keys to that. It isn't just some magical force that takes you over. There's some keys to coming to a place where you're led. Now, before I go farther with that, let's look at Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, oh my, I could preach on this one too for a long time. For they that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. You know what makes you authentic? Being led of the Spirit. The devil can copy gifts. Did you know that the Antichrist, the coming Antichrist, who I believe we may live to see and go through part of the tribulation period that Revelation speaks of, you know that the Antichrist is going to call down fire from heaven? He can copy God on certain things. The devil can copy God on certain things. Gifts can be copied. Gifts of the Spirit in Corinthians can be copied. There are cults that do the same thing. But there are some things of God that cannot be copied. Fruit, the devil cannot copy fruit. For the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, is love, joy, peace. The devil's not capable of copying the love of God perfectly. He can get somebody to fake it temporarily, but they can't do it consistently. It's too powerful, and it's only from God. But gifts can be copied, and that's why the Bible says to be careful lest no man deceive you. And that's why I don't jump on every bandwagon. Don't be offended. That's why I don't jump on every bandwagon that comes along. People got all this gift. They got this gift. The devil can copy gifts. Moses threw his rod on the ground and became a snake. The Egyptians' magicians threw their rod on the ground and became a snake. My father had a friend in Haiti that was in a voodoo ceremony where a goat talked. The devil can copy things. What makes you authentic is when you are led by the Spirit of God, and you'll have a time, if you're walking close to God, when you'll begin to be led of the Spirit, and you'll have things happen that nobody will ever talk you out of it, that it was God. Anybody relate to that? Things that will happen, somebody can say, oh, how do you know that was God? You know in your heart of hearts, the way that thing stacked up and the way that situation happened, that the wind was blowing and it made you have, there's no way that would have happened, that had to be God. I remember walking into a hospital room, and as I came down the hall, seeing these folks, the young couple, the older folks I knew, the young couple I had never seen before, a child had been burned badly in a fire. And I was walking down the hall just doing my thing, coming down to have prayer with them because they were in dire straits, and I had heard about it, and I thought, I need to go down and have prayer with this couple. And as I was coming down the hall, this young girl I'd never seen before, this young mother, looked up at me and went, oh, my gosh, and covered her face and went in the room. I thought, what's that about? I thought, what is that about? When I went into the room, she said, that's the man I saw in the dream. That God had given her a dream that he was going to send some people to help them. I would just happen to be the messenger boy. Don't put me on some pedestal. Don't do that. Don't do that. Lord will make me leave. I've been through that before in ministries. Lord will make me leave. Don't do that. I want to stay. I happened to be the messenger boy. God was sending our church to help, and God gave this woman a dream, and she saw something, and she said it was that guy in that black suit. She said it was him. I'd never seen him before, but I know that was the man in my suit, and she just kept going. Well, I knew it was the truth, because she's just going all to pieces. Well, it ended up how God used all that marvelously. I'll not go into all that story, but it was so obvious that that was all God ordered. I came out of that, and there was no way. I just stumbled in there, you know, just doing my thing, didn't even know if I was on time. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound there. If God had prepared the way, he was doing things bigger. Did you know, Christian, if you're working at Square D or if you're working in the school system and you really come to God and say, I want to be led of the Spirit, do you know that there'll be things going on you're totally unaware of, that God's doing bigger things and better things? Don't let the world drain you. There's something bigger going on here. We want to be led of the Spirit. That's what validates us. Well, you'll come to a place in your walk with God where you'll know in your heart of hearts that you were led of God, and nobody will ever talk you out of it. 3 or 4 years ago, I was driving to see Kevin Smith, who was in prison at that time. And I don't remember, been so many different places. Colleen, you would know. Was it Pendleton, maybe? Okay. I was driving to see Kevin, and I was by myself. And I was just praying and asking God to guide my day, and I was a little nervous. I was going to try to help Kevin in their marriage and things, and he's in prison, and just trying to help with things, and I was, Lord, you know, I was just praying, and all of a sudden, the wind, all of a sudden, it came to me, just as clear as anything, when you're done talking with Kevin Smith, go to Indianapolis and see Bonnie, Lynn Babb's sister. She's battling cancer. I mean, it just came to me, and it's kind of like, you just knew in your heart, I need to do that. And so I went and spent the time with Kevin, and I left and told him, I'm going to cut it a little bit short. I've got something I need to do. And I drove to Indianapolis. I go to Indianapolis, and I go into the hospital, and I go up the floor where Bonnie is. We've been praying for her. She's battling cancer. What they thought was cancer. And I went in the room. When I went in the room, she says, what are you doing here? And I said, hey, thought I was supposed to come see you. You know, no magic here. I just thought I was supposed to come see you. And she said, oh, my. She said, in 5 minutes, they're coming in to give me my diagnosis, prognosis. And she said, from the way they're acting, I don't think it's good. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. Man, I'm glad I came. I was thinking in my heart. Can I stop here and put parentheses for a minute? I'm glad I wasn't driving to Pendleton mad at Pam about something. Anger takes you out. I'm glad I hadn't fallen into sin and spent the morning, please don't be offended, but this is an epidemic with men in the world today, and spent the morning on the computer on pornography, watching pornography. Does that mean God doesn't love me anymore? No, but the dove can't be part of that. Listen, this is truth. This is absolute truth, and America needs it. You got the precious partner. But you start taking stuff in that he can't be part of. It isn't that he doesn't love you anymore. This isn't legalism. It isn't that he can't stand you anymore and he hates you now. No, he still loves you, but he can't be part of that. So I'm driving along and I'm ticked off at Pam and I'm aggravated. And I'm on my way to Pendleton. Do you think I'd have picked up that wind? No. No. Because the dove can't be part of that. Anger takes you out. Incidentally, I have a message on the internet a few months back called Anger Takes You Out. Never had. Anger must be a problem in American culture because I've never had a CD. So many people take so many as that one. That one takes the cake of those four. So evidently that is a problem. Anger takes you out. So the Spirit, he calls to you, come on, get back on track. You shouldn't be feeling that way about your wife, but he's got to fly and land over here because he can't be part of that. Does that make sense? I don't know why we have to make this so complicated. The Holy Spirit wants to dwell with us, but there's things he can't be part of. And if I'm filling my heart with smut, somebody can say, well, I don't think it's that big a deal. And plus, you all see the problems I used to have. I'm doing better. You're separating yourself from the dove. And you're not going to be led of the Spirit. And I'll tell you why that's so critical here in a minute. Back onto the freeway from the exit ramp. We're waiting in the room. She's saying, I can't believe you're here. No magic of mine. The wind blows. This is available to us as believers. Don't put me on some pedestal. You talk about God ordering things. In comes the doctor carrying his little briefcase, and guess who it is? Steve Schultz, the doctor I had for leukemia. Now, what's the chances of that? You've got to be kidding me. He walks in the door, but I could see God paving the way for Bonnie. You'd been praying for Bonnie. Lynn had been praying for Bonnie. Bonnie's a nervous wreck. Schultz steps in the door and says, Tom Robbins. And I said, Dr. Schultz. And we hugged each other. And he turned and said, you're in good hands, Bonnie. And I said, no, Bonnie, you're in good hands. And we prayed with Bonnie. Bonnie believes that the Lord touched her that day. In fact, I visited with Bonnie this week in Lynn's room. I don't understand all of that. But I know when I was driving to Pendleton, there came a breeze. And I want to be on his wavelength. Please don't think, we're not about legalism, we're not about rules. But the reason I plead with you on this is because when we allow things in our life of deliberate disobedience, we separate ourselves from this marvelous privilege we have of being led of the Spirit. And that's so critically important. This week, got up to go see Lynn. We love Lynn, my oh my. If there's a trophy given out, and I know Lynn doesn't want one, but if we gave out a trophy or a medal or a plaque or something for the woman that's helped us probably the most in the ministry, physically helped us, hands-on helped us the most in the ministry the last 25 years, Lynn probably get it. Everything we've ever done. She came to Chicago and helped do cookouts in the park. Take her only day off. We're 12 hours a day. Take her only day off and drive up to Chicago and help do a cookout for the homeless people. I mean, Lynn's just been amazing. You always see her here in the coffee house working. Got up to go see Lynn. The wind. Went in to get my stuff. Reading glasses and all the junk you got to carry when you get old, you know. Isn't that terrible? Fill your pockets with all this stuff. Just as clear as anything, I felt like the Lord said to me, don't forget to take couple books with you. Felt like I should take two of the books. My story, day I was blessed with leukemia. So I put two books in the car. Went to see Lynn. Got there. We hadn't been there 5 minutes, and a nurse comes in named Julie. Lynn and I together got to talk with Julie for 20-25 minutes. Lynn was supposed to be going down for some tests. This gal was the RN in charge of the floor, so I think she just kind of took liberty to talk as long as she wanted to. And Lynn and I together, Lynn chimed in, and she and I talked together, and Julie's a Christian. We had the opportunity to share about my story, and Lynn jumped in from her perspective and told about my cancer. And Julie, we could tell, was encouraged And I went over and put my arm around her, and I said, I have a special love for nurses who care. I said, us chaplains and pastors, you know, we pop in and try to say nice things, but it's you who are here at 2:30 in the morning. It's you who are here all night long with people that are hurting. You're really the ministers. Now, Julie, don't get discouraged. Hang in there. And she said, thank you, I needed that. And I said, but you're ministering when I'm home asleep. Well, we left, and she went down for a test, and I went out to the car. And, no, I got ahead of myself. When she came back, another nurse came in, a different nurse named Nicole. And I was getting ready to leave, and we were going to give thanks for the test that they had given Lynn. I had my days mixed up for a minute, but we were going to give thanks. We prayed before Lynn went for a test, came back positive results on that particular test. They did a lot of testing due to her hives and being exposed to inspecting meat and feeling she had a virus. The test seemed successful and positive, so I said, Lynn, before I leave, let's pray and give thanks for this. And she said, sure, I'd like to. Well, this gal standing here that I didn't know at the time was looking at the computer, and I noticed when I prayed, she stepped back in the computer and she bowed her head. That's a little bit unusual, and usually they go about their work. So I prayed and gave thanks for Lynn and for that positive test that came back and asked him to give skill to the nurses and doctors. And now, you know, getting ready for God to use me here, but if I'd have been all about darn this hospital, we probably missed this. If I'd been all caught up and in complaining. Now, granted, there's problems in the medical field like there's everywhere, but I'm saying Christians get sidetracked. We get angry, we get mad, we get complaining. We become unthankful. We can't figure out why God isn't using us. God seems to use other people. Why isn't he using me? Well, it isn't because he favors anybody. Anyway, I finished the prayer. And when I finished the prayer, the sweet little nurse, she's standing over here so reverently. I noticed, I was peeking while I was praying. I noticed she's over there. I'm thinking, this is interesting. We done the prayer. She says, amen. I thought, So I thought, I got to talk to this gal. So I went over and I put my arm around her, beside her here, and I said, I got a special place for nurses. I said, I've been a patient. I said, I was in St. Vincent's Hospital on 86th Street for the biggest part of 5 months. And I said, I just got a special place for nurses. And she said, well, what happened? So I began telling her my story. You've heard it 1,000 times. And I started telling her my story about my leukemia, and she choked up. And she said, I'm going to cry. Lynn again jumped in and talked. I could tell this girl was moved. I could tell it was a very special moment in her life. And as I finished talking to her, as clear as anything, God said to me, that's who the other book's for. Okay. So I went down the elevator, told Lynn goodbye, and I thought, I'll come back up the nurse's station and bring Nicole a book. So I go down, and when I'm on the elevator, there's this guy standing to me next to me with a real sad look on his face, and he's got a motorcycle jacket over his arm. He's holding a helmet. I'm talking about being led of the Spirit. This isn't brag day. Stay with me. I want you to get a hold of this. And I just felt the Lord's thumb in my back. Say something to that kid. Say something to that kid. I'm thinking, okay, let's see. I said, nice day to ride. He's holding a helmet. That'd be a logical question. I said, nice day to ride. He said, yeah, I'm actually going to go out and ride and clear my head. He said, I've been with my mom. She's not doing very good. Oh, elevator opens, people standing waiting to get in. See you later. I walk out to get my book, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, should I have prayed with that guy, or should I have done something, or you know, a thought came to me, maybe he's a young man, doesn't have a father, which happens so often. He's down here with his mother, so many raised by their mother. He sure seemed distressed on his face. Oh, Lord, I think I blew it. I should have just turned around and said, hey, could I talk with you for a minute? So I go out the car and I get the book for Nicole and I come back in. When I come back in, I walk through the double doors. I'm looking at the book because I'm thinking of what I'm going to write in it for Nicole. And I'm walking up there and somebody goes by me right over here. And I look over and say, kid, and he said, we meet again. He goes out the door. Here again, gone. And I'm thinking, shoot. Had my second chance. I did when he walked by, when he said we meet again. I just reached over and touched him on the back like that and said, take care. And he smiled at me. I went and got on the elevator with this feeling of, you ever had this? Yeah, God just gave me two opportunities, and I screwed them both up. Anybody ever felt that way? A few honest people in here. When I got on the elevator and said, Lord, I think I should have talked to that boy. You know what the Lord said to me as clear as anything? He said, no, that was enough. And standing there on that elevator by myself and going up to the third floor, God said to me, if my spirit is in a pat on the back and a smile, it'll go farther than 1,000 of your words. Sometime you just need to keep your mouth shut. Okay. I'm all right with that. God's spirit and the wind is a powerful thing. And there's some people that aren't ready for a prayer. It'll scare the wits out of them. There's some people that they're hurting so bad, they're not ready for some stranger like me, Mr. Intense, to look them in the eye and say, so how are you feeling today? But they do need somebody to be fatherly and say, hey, it'll be okay. I'll see you. Are you all right? And when I got on that elevator, God said to me, I was beating myself up, and God said, that was enough. Some of you have powerful smiles. Oh, you shouldn't say names. I'm going to. No, I'm not. Some of you have powerful smiles. Some of you have a powerful touch, Jeannie Staker. See, I said it. Some of you question whether God's using you in a way you don't realize. Don't take offense at this, but you don't realize that sometimes that was all it was supposed to be. Was, I'm just checking on you. But when the Holy Spirit's in those fingertips, the dove is motivating that compassion of Christ. That's a powerful, 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 powerful thing. I had an incident happen early in my ministry. Many of you that have been with me for years know. It took 10 seconds, but I have referred back to it hundreds of times when I was discouraged. As a very young man, questioning myself, getting the opportunity to preach, and getting up there and venturing out and actually preaching and wondering how I was doing, an elderly man sitting right back here where Larry is sitting, when I got done, he came out, walked straight forward and pointed at me, and I thought, oh shoot, what did I do wrong? That's probably the head deacon or something. And I'm standing there, I'm about 22, you know, I'm standing there, and he walked up and he pointed at me, and he said something to me positive, and I'm not going to repeat, but he said something to me positive about what he sensed when I was preaching. And he turned and walked out, and I've never seen that man since. And that whole episode probably took 15 seconds, but I have drawn from that, and that was led by the wind of the Spirit. And some of my lowest times in Chicago, some of my lowest times at near death of my children and near suicides of my children, and some of the things I've gone, God has reminded me and showed me that man's face pointed at me when he said what he said that gave me the affirmation that I needed. My sister should be here in the congregation. She always hollered, breathe. She's not here. When I'd speak, my sister sometimes would go, breathe. Are you getting it? The wind blows where it wants to. God's going to work how he's going to work. We can have our plans. We can have our ideas. We can open not a church, and then we can change it to CMO, and then we can do this, and then we can do this, and we mean well, and God does work through our fumblings, but God's going to do what God's going to do, and when he gets ready to do it, he's going to do it, but I want to be in the mainstream when he does it. You with me? I never dreamed that part of our outreach would be in Haiti. It never occurred to me. But God gave me that verse that's on the wall out there 2 years ago. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to your mind, but you'll rejoice in what I create. And I'd say, create, huh? It must be something new. God's going to give us something new to do we haven't done before. Didn't know what that was. And then when God opened up under the umbrella of outreach, we're doing outreach here. We're going to continue to develop that outreach here. We plan, Lord willing, to reopen the rescue resort. Pam and I have been over there drawing, making plans. Plan to have a meeting with those of you in a couple of weeks that are interested in that. But part of our wing is the Haiti project. And God has given us an assignment there. And I say that with reverence. I even feel it saying it, that that's an assignment he has given us. I didn't see that coming. God's going to do what God's going to do. But I know this, when the wind's blowing, I want to be in it. I don't want to be over here when I'm supposed to be here. Instead of saying, God bless what I'm doing, do what God's blessing. Find the wave and get in it. We can all go out in the ocean, and we can take 50 surfboards, and we can get in unison and all follow our pastor. And churches do this. And I say, okay, everybody, hit the water with your surfboard, and we can all get in perfect time, and we can create a wave. We can do that. But if we just go out and wait and watch and let God bring in a wave and jump on, we'll have the ride of our life. And there's nothing like being led of the Spirit. And I more and more am saying, Lord, help me see where you're working. And sometimes on elevator, God says, I'm speaking to that boy. Smile at him. I want to smile through you. Isn't it awesome that God that God would choose to use your face? Let him use it for heaven's sakes. Don't be filling it with stuff you shouldn't be. Don't be filling your head with stuff you shouldn't be. This isn't about legalism. It's about freeing up. My chains are gone so that I can be used to the Lord. Does that make sense? I think it makes all kinds of sense. Being led of the Spirit. I miss it sometimes. Hey, I'm getting personal. I already said something about Jeannie. I messed up the other day with the office. I did. I know I did. They're nice to me, but I did. They're not mad at me, but I did. They needed to talk to me, and I didn't realize it. I was overwhelmed. I was trying to help my son get a tractor going to help, and it was for a good cause. A lady that needed her pasture mowed, we was trying to help out. This lost her husband, and we couldn't get the tractor going. And I stopped in here at the church, had my grandson with me. I was behind the eight ball. I'd been down to see Lynn that morning. Busy day, had a lot to do. I knew Pam needed me at home. She's babysitting the kids because Kevin and Abby were in Haiti. And I was all overwhelmed and wasn't mad at anybody or anything. Didn't show a bad spirit or anything. And they were forgiving. But I realized after I left, the Lord just let me get settled and get the tractor off my mind, you know. Had to get the cobwebs all out of my head. And God spoke to me and said, they wanted to talk with you. And I know it. I blew it. Why am I telling you that? We're not always going to get it right. This is a growing process. So don't leave this message and beat yourself up for all the times you missed it. God's not interested in going over that file. He's not interested in getting that file out and leafing through it. That's not interested to him at all. He's all about forgetting stuff and moving on. What he wants us to do is to clear out the junk. And tomorrow morning, I have decided I'm going to follow Jesus. And we're going to get on this horse. We're going to ride this thing. And we're going to quit messing around about it. Because I need to tell you, we have so much material. Oh, we got that too low, don't we? Robbie's going to fix it. I'll read slow, give him time to get up here. We have so much material, media, seminars, videos, preaching, teaching, etc., etc., but there is a desperate need for people who are led of the Spirit. You agree with that? Okay, I'll not run off on this because my time's running out, but Revelation chapter 3 talks about the Laodicean church, and it says there that we say we're rich and increased with goods. I believe that that prophecy there is about our church age. I believe the Laodicean church is our church age. And it says, you say you are rich and increased with goods, but you know not you're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. We have more material spiritual available than we've ever had, especially with now the new, all the new systems that we have. Media, seminars, videos, preaching, teaching, etc. But there's a desperate need for people who are led of the Spirit. That's what's needed. Why is this so important? The reason it's so important is because that's the only stuff that's going to last. Are you with me? I can do all kinds of good works, but if it's in the flesh and it wasn't directed by the Spirit, it isn't going to last. Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might, it's not by, boy, what Tom can do, not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit. The things that are God-breathed, the things that are the wind of the Spirit have significance. That's why we've got to be in touch with this. Then, 1 Corinthians, and I'm not going to turn to it, but I'd like you to look at this on your own later if you would. 1 Corinthians 3:12-14 says that every man's works is going to be tested. Some will find out when it's under test that it's wood, hay, and stubble. Some will be gold and silver and precious stones. Okay, what we do for God, there's going to come a time when that's going to be tested. If it was wood, hay, and stubble, it's just going to poof, that's the end of it. I don't want to spend my life, do you, doing a bunch of stuff that when the fire and testing comes, poof, it didn't amount to anything. I want to be doing stuff that's led of the Spirit. Not by my might or power, but by God's Spirit, because that's lasting. So, we have much material, media, seminars, videos, preachings, teaching, but there's a desperate need for people who are led by the Spirit. Why is this important? Because it's the only thing going to last. Everything else is going to go up in smoke. I've offended people. I have. Because I didn't join in on everything everybody wanted to do. You remember when Jesus said that you're like children in the marketplace, we've piped and you didn't dance. Everybody's got something they want you to dance to. And I don't mean this a reflection on any individuals, but every ministerial group I've been around, every place I pastored, about half of them is mad at me. Get this going, get this going. We want all the pastors to help. Get this going, get. We want all the pastors to help. I'm saying, Lord, is this of you? Because if it isn't, there's no end to good works. My daddy said one time, the biggest battle in Haiti was being overwhelmed. He said, if you hang a sign up that says free lunch, you will never live to see the end of the line. There's no end to good works. So find the things that God wants you to do. We can hand out sandwiches all day. And granted, many times it's of the Spirit. My mother ran a feeding program for children for years. So don't misunderstand that. But I'm saying there's all kind of people that, well, I'll just do lots of good works and God will accept me. It's not going to last. It's the things that are led of God's Spirit that he was in. Because he knew the hearts, he knew the motives, he knew the need. He knew what was significant, what needed to be done. I want to be led of the Spirit. Does that make sense? All right, I got to quit. I'm going to leave this up here just long enough for you to copy it. I made a commitment. I was not going to preach too long, and I'm going to stick to it. I felt like God even spoke to me that we've got new visitors coming, and I'm too intense to talk too long. And it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. And God can do as much work in a shorter time as he can a long time. And you can get caught up, and I got to get through all my points and get all obsessive instead of, Lord, I think I've given them enough to think about. Sometimes people can be overwhelmed. So I'm going to leave this up here long before you know to copy. I could talk on every one of them. It's how are we led of the Spirit. It's not some magic formula. Don't you go out of here and say, oh, man, my pastor, he's got some stories. I'm telling you, he's this guy up here. Don't go there. You put your pastor on a pedestal, he'll make the pastor leave. I've been through this. God's not pleased with that. God's not pleased with that. This is available to us as believers, being led of the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit. And it's not some magic formula. It's intimate time with God and closeness. I'll ride that till the Lord comes. It comes out all the time in messages. Intimate time with God. There's no substitute. To have the dove, draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. To have the dove this close, you got to spend some time with him. Intimate time with God. You develop your own walk with God. You develop your own time with God. You do it the way that fits your personality and how God directs you. But you got to have intimate time with God. Personal integrity. The dove cannot be part of certain things. You can quote every scripture. You can know everything about the Spirit. But the dove cannot be part of certain things. There are certain attitudes that we can display. There are things that we allow in our life that the dove just has to say, oh, I'm sorry. Why did you do that? And I'm going to have to sit over here. I can't be part of this. Personal integrity. There is no substitute for personal integrity, and that's going out the window in our churches today. People are coming in, jumping up and down, waving their arms and worshiping, and the Bible does say, I'm not saying that critically, the Bible does say to praise the Lord, and it's an appropriate thing, and God inhabits the praises of his people. But it also, I can take you to a passage in the Scripture where God told them to sit down and be quiet because he said your personal life is not where it should be. They were up praising. Go back and read in Isaiah. They were up praising and bringing him offerings and alms, and he said, be quiet, I don't want to hear it. Because you're not doing what you're acting like you're doing. So, personal integrity, there's no substitute. Courage, and this maybe should be another message, because I do want to talk about some of these. The courage, I think sometimes God nudges us and blows the Spirit, he blows the breeze of the Spirit, but we greatly lack courage. What will somebody think? Will this be out of place? Is this going to seem awkward? The fear of man, the fear of man. That's what it is. You know, what will somebody say? They're going to think I'm strange if I do this. That ain't what this is about. This is bigger than that. God knows that person's life may end today, and they've got you on that elevator for a reason. And this ain't about, am I acting strange? I think sometimes we lack courage. Be yourself. That's so huge right there. That's so huge. God takes who we are, the beauty of who we are, and takes the sin out of it. Look at the variety of personalities in this church. Just look around the church, the difference of personalities. Now, God takes the sin out of it. Some people want to be yourself. Well, I'll just do like I always do. I'll go, you know, hang out at the bars and do what I've always done, but I've got God with me now. No, the dove doesn't belong in some of those places. But he does want you to be yourself, but the sin's out of it. Bill Holler's a good example of this. Bill Holler's being himself, but the sin's out. And so God's using Bill in a unique way with a certain type of people that others can't reach. Same with me, same with you, same with you, same with you. Don't take away the beauty of how he made you. Be who you are. You're not all like me, thank goodness. We think how intense we'd be if everybody in here is just like me. It'd be awful. Nobody'd ever come. Be yourself, though. I remember my mom in her 70s. What an awesome woman of God to see this. What an awesome woman of God to see this. She was getting her mail at the mailbox right over here on 450 North. I was pastoring in Peru at the time, where Rod Carell is there. He was my assistant at the time. I come roaring up on an old Harley. I think it was a 72, if I remember right, an old noisy Harley. And I got off of it, my hair was blowing all over the place. And I grinned at her real big, because Paul and Jim and I are all ministers, and I'm the youngest. And I grinned at her real big, and I said, I bet you look at me sometimes and think, oh, some minister this is. And that woman was in her mid-70s. She walked over to me, and tears started running down her face, and she pointed at me, and I'll remember this as long as I live. She said, don't you ever change. And I'm like, okay. She said, God uses you, and I've seen it the way that you are. Don't you let anybody change you. Who in their 70s would have said that? Now, I'm not knocking anybody. I have high respect for Christians in their 70s. I'm just saying that's not the normal mindset. She knew something, that when you're yourself, and who you are, God wants to use you. I've often said, we get some guy, God picks some David that he sees back washing the flock, some sweet psalmist, some neat young guy that he wants to anoint as king. We send him off to seminary, gave him a briefcase, and ruin him. He comes back carrying his briefcase, acting different than who he really is. And God picked him because he was unique. Does that make sense? And don't force it, let it flow. Now, I told y'all I wasn't going to talk about all these, but I could talk an hour on each of them. So I am cutting it short. Be yourself. Don't force it. Let it flow. I was just about ready to force it with that guy on the elevator. I was just about ready to force it. Oh, I should be sharing something with him. I should be praying with him. And I felt like the Lord said, that's enough. Don't force things. Step out in courage and faith. Initiate something. God will open the way if he's in it, and it'll flow. If you suddenly realize that things are changing and you're forcing it, back off. Back off. God will use you because the spirit, the dove, there again, the characteristics of that bird, God used that as a word picture for a reason. The Holy Spirit isn't a dove. The Holy Spirit is God. But he came in the form of a dove and had a reason for doing that to get something across to us. Don't force it. Gonna stop. Even had another page here. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I want to be sensitive, even when preaching, that when we've had enough and it's time to go, and to this is heart-probing stuff. So we need to let that scalpel of the surgeon from heaven just work on us. I'd ask you to take these things that we've shared this morning, use them, and Lord, I'd like to see, I guess, for myself, what I feel this morning. I'd like to see people leave here with a stronger hunger than they've had before to be led of the Spirit. It's the lasting stuff. It gives you significance. All this epidemic of low self-esteem and low self-worth, I've found in my own life, when you start feeling led of the Spirit, it gives you worth. You start feeling like, hey, I was used of God. I know I was. It does things for you. You know, you can go to counseling and work on all that, and there's a time for that, but there's times when just walking in the Spirit will heal a whole bunch of things. Makes us feel value. Know that we're part of the kingdom. So, Lord, I'd ask that you'd put a hunger in each person here to be led of your Spirit. Be with us as we go from this place, and guide us and direct us and use these truths. And guide me, too, in finishing this another time, whether that be next week or another time. Guide me there. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.